anniversary event, go to democracynow.org.
When they separated families, we took them to court and won. When they limited access to essential health care, we fought the bans and won. And now they're determined to reverse more of our hard-won rights and freedoms. But if they try to take away our rights, they've got to get past us. We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we will fight any attempts to roll back our rights in the courts, in state legislatures, and in the streets.
When you're surrounded by oppressive laws, you can't just sit back and be oppressed. You get up and fight. And all of us at the ACLU are fighting for you.
Right now, the ACLU's work is more important than ever. The ACLU is fighting in the courts and advocating in all 50 states to ensure that all of us can exercise our rights. To learn more about ACLU's work defending our civil liberties, go to myaclu.org.
You're listening to WUSB, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM. That's WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, which means it's time once again for another edition of Off the Wall. Chapter 11, United States. Well, Kyle, we're still traveling somehow, even though we're back home, and this has been one hell of an adventure. It's never going to end, is it?
No. It's just it's one of those things. When you're on the road, you have to face all kinds of calamity and challenges. And I think I got the snowmobile rented, but what we're going to have to do is, do you have the snowshoes I gave you?
Yeah, we got the snowshoes, and the snowshoes. You know, okay. But they sank right into the snow, and I can't find them anymore. So it's really been, a comedy of errors. Some people are laughing. I don't think it's funny at all. And there's more snow than I ever wanted. I regret now ever asking for snow. It's all over the place. And it's just, you know, we can't even figure out where we are.
It's true. It's true. It's just basically whiteout conditions. I see some trees over, like... Do you see where the like ridge line
is?
We can't possibly.
It's,
and then they're like, oh God, the gusts are coming.
We can't possibly do this the whole hour. No, we're done. We're done with the chapters. We're done with the traveling. We're back. We're here. We're live.
We're driving a snowplow.
No, we're not. We're not.
And by snowplow, I mean it is the wonder that is community radio here at WUSB Stony Brook.
Would you just liken WUSB to a snowplow?
Yeah.
All right.
It's called Waves.
Well, we are back then, for sure, if we're making analogies like that. But wow, what an adventure we had. We actually got back a couple of weeks ago, but we had so much material, we kept playing it. And it was a nice break. Yeah, I know. The whole country has fallen apart. Everything has gone to hell. But, you know, wasn't it nice not to hear it from us as well as everybody else? You know, we told you beforehand. We told you what was coming for months and years beforehand. Then it happened. Okay, now you got to hear other people tell you about it, and we sort of got to relax a little bit. Not that we were relaxed at all. It was very stressful and upsetting hearing about all the craziness, and we're going to talk about it. Of course we're going to talk about it. But sometimes you have to listen as well.
Yeah, we've been observing, of course. We're not unaware of things that are going on. And we did our best diplomacy and exploration and just hearing perspectives and taking in like the mood of things. And while we're back, we've attended some actions even. We've been seeing a lot of like good stuff on the streets, mm-hmm. Amidst a lot of really just horrible stuff on the streets. But it's just amazing. The kinds of action, the kind of reporting, all of it, I think, is it's very important. And we're just excited to bring the observations we have and our vigor back to this.
There were two people on the that corner in Port Jefferson Village demonstrating, saying, "Stop killing our neighbors," demonstrating against ICE. I almost gave them a bad gesture because I thought they were the anti-abortion people who stand in the exact same place and use a similar phrase saying "stop killing babies" and nonsense like that. But fortunately, I was able to read their sign before and then just beep instead, which was much better, much better. But yeah, there's a lot of that going on. You know, you go to various corners, there's people just standing there with signs. And demonstrations break out all over the place. This is really happening.
It's through that expression that we find common ground, or where we do see alignment in different bits of nuance and philosophy. And we try to engage in that here. We like to read your letters. Please write us, otw@2600.com. If you've been to any kind of actions or you've seen any really good forms of expression that are thought-provoking and meaningful, share with us.
It's weird seeing people on the other side realizing what's going on. I saw a tweet today, somebody saying, you know, we spent all this time fighting the swamp. Who knew that Trump was the swamp? And of course, you really want to say, well, dumbass, we all knew that. If you'd listened to us, you would have known it too. But, you know, you got to sort of say, you figured it out. Good for you. Nothing was lost. Don't worry about that. Just we might have to, you know, fight a bit now to get our country back. But the important thing is you know now. You've seen what can happen. And maybe it just takes some more convincing for some people to realize that. But, boy, it's frustrating. I don't like saying I told you so. I really don't. You might think it feels good to say that. It's frustrating to say that because it means when you say, I told you so, that you weren't listening. You weren't listening to what I was saying. I was making very good points. You know, I was trying to get through to you and you just ignored me.
Well, it's a recognition that it's not really about winning that necessarily. I think it's that we build a better union and those core things, at least in this context, in our system, and constantly evaluate and renew our commitment to those ideals and what we use as like foundational principles and stuff like that, e.g. the Constitution, things like that at least from a governmental side make our particular society work and in a free sort of way.
I disagree with Marjorie Taylor Greene on so many things, passionately. But when I hear her express, a sense of betrayal at how she was treated, how everybody is being treated by this regime, it's not nothing. It matters. It counts. It has value to hear somebody who was that close. And it was inevitable because everybody who gets close gets hurt at some point. So, okay, now it's your turn. But those words resonate because we're seeing it, pretty directly. And it's a shame that so many people had to go through this to learn that. But maybe now, we can at least join forces to stop it.
This is why in a plural of ideals and perspectives, this is why it's really good not to get personal in your politics and in the discourse and the disagreement, because how much stronger are you through that kind of allyship? And
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of what she said over the years was reprehensible from my point of view, but it's actually really cool to see her being kind of at peace or sort of calm with where she's ended up with it. And, she's changed her mind. She's grown, whatever you want to call it. I don't think there's that many things that everybody might agree with someone that's changed on one or two alliances.
Right.
But they're still who they are. But you give credit where credit's due, that you can change. People aren't fixed. They
right,
don't necessarily have to.
They are not going to change to the degree where we would say, oh yeah, we're with you with everything. No, they are always going to be very, very different. And we are always going to disagree with them on most things. But on something like this, where you need as many allies as possible, it does matter if you treat people that are coming to the realization this late in the game, if you treat them with a degree of respect, that's going to resonate with them as well. And they're not going to look at the other side as something reprehensible. They're going to look at the other side as something civilized, something that actually does have value. And, there is no risk in treating people with respect, even if you disagree with them. But especially when they see something that you've been trying to articulate, it's going to count a lot more if you're not somebody that they despise. If you're somebody that actually is mature and can have a dialogue and, they listen or they don't listen. But the important thing is that you don't burn all the bridges so that you can never talk to somebody again. And, I'm thinking of family as well, as friends. Do you really want to throw away relationships that you might already have because of points like this? I think there might be a lot of healing going on in the weeks ahead where people are saying, yeah, I see it now. I get it now. I didn't get it before. And it's important to say, okay, well, I'm glad you get it now, instead of, boy, how stupid were you that you didn't get it until this? No, you don't need that. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, and what next? That's the logical extent to my mind is, okay, how are you going to act in light of that? Because there's myriad people already acting, at least in along a wide range of opposition perspectives, but definitely are arranging themselves to counter the kind of the degree and extent to which mm-hmm. this regime has been really wielding its power in a way that is indicative of overreach to say the least.
Well, obviously, obviously, ICE is the key here. Boy, this has been a winter of ice, hasn't it? In so many ways. But what happened in Minnesota, oh my God, it was every nightmare you could possibly imagine. But I can't imagine people handling it better than the people of Minnesota, specifically Minneapolis and in that area. Their courage, their strength, their passion, it's inspiration to us all. And it's something that we all need to be able to exhibit when the time comes, and the time will come. ICE are everywhere. They are acting the way that they've been told they're able to act. You can do whatever you want. You can grab people off the street. You can, you know, bust people's windows in their cars if you don't like the way they're looking at you. You can kick in their doors. You know, a lot of people are making comparisons to Nazi Germany. A lot of people are doing that. And I've expressed my opposition to that because, I'll say it again. This is nothing like Nazi Germany. This is nothing like Nazi Germany, what we are living through right now. It isn't. If you look at the history, you'll see just what it was like then, how dire things were. But what's different, what's specifically different, are the people. If you look at Nazi Germany, the beginnings, you will see that the people swallowed this whole. They accepted it. They wanted it. And that is what led to all the nightmares, to all the ugliness, was the acceptance of the people. That is not the same here. That is what is different. The people are fighting. The people are mocking. The people are kicking back in whatever way they can. Look at the people of Minneapolis. That is the spirit of America, the true spirit of America. That is what it is to be a patriot. You didn't have that in early Nazi Germany. It was a very sick society. And yeah, we certainly have a lot of problems today, but it's not like that. However, I will say there are parts of what we're seeing today that are exactly like Nazi Germany. And the number one thing that I can think of that is precisely the same is ICE. Those guys marching around, shoving people and abusing people and murdering people, they would have fit in perfectly in Nazi Germany. So yeah, there's your parallel right there. It's identical. It's the same personality. It's the same hatred and ignorance and might makes right attitude. But it's not the people. It's not the society. You know, we have healthy opposition. And that is our hope. And I think we're all starting to see that now. Left, right, you know, conservative, liberal, fighting back. That's where your strength is. That's where the value is. So let's not write off where we are right now, because I think we're in a very hopeful place at the moment. And it's because of the people who showed courage, the people who are continuing to fight back, not the people who are ignoring, not the people who are accepting.
One of the things that comes to my mind when you say this is the repeating, it's just countless times leadership in that state was imploring people to behave in peaceful ways when demonstrating as much as you possibly could. Get in their face, be aggressive with your expression, but don't, ownership of public space, but don't buy into their characterizations of it not being anything peaceful. You know, that kind of leadership was so needed for the last couple of weeks. And I disagree. I think, you know, we could have imagined this. We all imagined this. But I think what's hard to imagine in Minneapolis is enduring it and resisting it. And they're definitely learned, they've learned from other cities that had this kind of action, and I think met the moment with just incredible strength. So that's, I think, the thing we could not have imagined, or maybe it's from an outside perspective. In fact, it certainly is. And people there knew all along that they would be able to resist and do their best. They still are. And as you said, this is taking place everywhere. And the comparisons, I mean, yeah, comparisons have been made, but no one, I think, makes those comparisons to Nazi Germany in a literal sense, at least meaningfully. I think that it is a reference to the sorts of tactics and the parallels in some of the rhetoric, and even now taking sort of control in various ways of messaging and using propaganda in the public sphere. I think those are really, really close parallels. But no one's, and even building encampments and stuff domestically, that you're internally displacing people that were seeking citizenship through legal methods, like, right. That's just gross. And it not only reminds us of that, but also internment that occurred during World War II in the United States. We have our own history that this resembles. So there are many different things you could point to that this time is repeating, or that we're seeing things that are very familiar from a historical perspective. But to compare it to that, I think no one's saying that in entirety it's as bad as, or trying to create some kind of equate in some way.
I wouldn't say no one is saying.
Well, you haven't been. I haven't observed you trying to literally equate it, but we've definitely talked about it, and talked about it having the potential even for becoming that. And now here we are months, years into the second go around, and it's quite familiar for just the reasons I was talking about, that we foretold even years ago, as you said. So I totally hear your points, and I just wanted to point out there's some subtlety there, and it is very easy to get drawn into mischaracterizations of all this sort of discussion.
We're the same human race. We're going to do the same things, good and bad, throughout the course of our existence, and it's going to take on different characterizations. You know, using technology. I mean, the technology we have right now. Oh my God. Can you imagine Nazi Germany with that kind of technology, that kind of surveillance? You know, there are things they wouldn't need to do, because technology will do it for them. So, you know, these are things to keep in mind, that whether or not you believe it's similar, the same, or radically different, the threat is always a possibility. And you have to be, cautious of that, and apprehensive constantly.
Yeah, and I think another point, and that maybe is a reason why this is coming up, it seems like it's a sort of attempt to inoculate and sanitize the existence of actual ideologies that are based on Nazism and neo-Nazi groups that have existed and are evident in society and in the United States, and that alongside white supremacy and other ills of our society, I think, do exist in the conversation as well. So we can be talking about certain news stories and individuals saying certain things and cite them as something, mm-hmm. because they ascribe literally to that ideology through their own speech or whatever evidence there may be. And if there isn't necessarily some sort of evidence, then sure, maybe it's an accusation or an allegation, but it isn't occurring at the same time as you're seeing it from an institutional bureaucratic level, as it is ascended to the executive branch yet again.
And keep in mind that many of those people who do ascribe to Nazi ideology, white supremacy, they are targeted by the Trump administration to become members of ICE through various advertising and winks and nods and things like that.
Memes.
So, yeah, you have people who are, you know, actual white supremacists who are now in ICE. They have guns and they've been told they don't need warrants. They can just grab whoever they want. It's really scary and sick. And, you know, the most recent thing that I'm hearing about today is Trump wants to nationalize elections, which goes completely against the Constitution. But basically, it's a power grab. It's another attempt to seize control, to seize power, to negate the opposition. And I think, you know, the reaction to that is stronger than the reaction against other things. It's coming from both sides of the aisle. And this is important. This needs to not go down in volume at all. I think people are starting to abandon this ship. I really do. And the question is, what comes next? And how do we prevent this from ever happening again? We have some really... by the way, when you were talking about being peaceful, it's important to stress how hard that can be sometimes. I get that. I mean, you know, seeing what happened, you know, in Minneapolis, you know, to Renee Good and Alex Pettis, it's hard not to just want to burn it all down. It really is hard to do that. You know, people are saying, Preddy, he kicked an ICE car a couple of weeks earlier, as if kicking a car, by the way, I've kicked cars too, but kicking a car, okay, so that excuses being executed in a totally different situation. It's got nothing to do with anything. And the fact that it would even be brought up is indicative of a desperation to make excuses for this horrible behavior. And you know, they finally revealed the names of the murderers. And, okay, so now what's going to happen? Are they going to be charged? Is anything going to happen to these people? You know, the ICE agent, quote unquote, who executed Renee Good weeks earlier. You know, we have his name. We've had his name for a while. Nothing's happened to him. No charges. The federal authorities are not cooperating with the investigation. Oh, yeah, they're running their own investigation. They're investigating their own. But they will not cooperate with an independent investigation. And say that out loud. You know, it means something when an authority does not cooperate with an investigation. It means they're part of a cover-up. You know, we're seeing it with Jeffrey Epstein, you know, with all the files, the thing, the redactions. We're seeing, you know, this cover-up of anything that might make their side look bad. So it's hard to give them any kind of respect or to say that, yeah, we trust you to do the right thing. No. You've lost that trust. People don't trust you anymore. And that is why they're reacting in the ways that they're reacting. Oh, yeah, we can laugh at them. We can laugh at the crazy chants and the people who are screaming to their horse. But they're passionate. They're angry. And you should be, too. And, you know, maybe we need a few hundred thousand more people out there in the street to emphasize the point. I mean, already in just the month of January, Trump has been forced to backpedal quite a bit. Don't mistake that for victory, though. You know, he sees vulnerability in Minneapolis. He sees that they are losing badly. It doesn't mean he's not going to start doing something someplace else. He already has. He's already, you know, this whole Republicans control the election. He said that literally. We have to control the election. And, you know, that's pretty shameless, and it's not the last attempt to seize power or to just do what they feel like doing, regardless of what the rules actually are. But you know, we have some really positive news, I think, out of New York, in the wake of federal agents fatally shooting two Americans in Minnesota. New York's Attorney General Letitia James is set to deploy a group of legal observers to monitor immigration enforcement across the state to identify possible violations of law. Think about that. What we as citizens have been doing, you know, following these ICE people around, watching them, filming them, reporting on what they are doing and where they are. That is now also going to be done by people from the state of New York, officials from the state of New York, at the behest of New York's Attorney General. That is huge. The Legal Observers, composed of Office of the Attorney General employees who are participating on a voluntary basis, will collect and respond to reports of significant enforcement activity and related protests. They will serve as neutral witnesses on the ground, collecting information that could inform future legal action. We have seen in Minnesota how quickly and tragically federal operations can escalate in the absence of transparency and accountability, said Letitia James. The observers will not interfere with enforcement activity. It's not immediately clear how many legal observers there will be, but this kind of a statement alone would have been unheard of in years, you know, past years. We never would have seen something like this. This is incredibly significant. And, you know, look to the people who mock this or challenge this or act indignant about this. Look at their motives. This is what you need to do. You need to watch over people who are doing things like this. And if you don't do that, you wind up with what happened in Minnesota over and over again. Also, Governor Kathy Hochul of New York, who, by the way, holds a 26-point lead over Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman. Yeah, people aren't really in the mood for that kind of nonsense. She's basically telling police departments throughout the state, do not cooperate with ICE. Yeah, don't do that. It's not something that police are required to do. And here in New York, it's not something that is going to be tolerated any longer. Now, this puts her on a direct collision course with aforementioned Bruce Blakeman, speaking of white supremacists. A Nassau County executive has instructed his police department, the Nassau County Police, to work with ICE. And he thinks ICE is doing a whiz-bang job, and he wants more of it. You know, it's time that he hears from the people, not just his people, but the people. And there's an awful lot of them who think that this is not the right way to do things. So, yeah, it's progress. This progress came about because people spoke up. Because you out there, listeners, you said something. You showed up. Imagine if you're somebody who didn't say something, didn't show up, who's thinking of doing that now. Think about how much more that will mean. You know, if we all showed up, this would end tomorrow. It really would, because I talk to so many people who say this is wrong. I wish we could do something about it. All you have to do is make your voice heard. All you have to do is show up at a demonstration, write a letter to the editor, just get out there and register your feelings in one way or another. There's nothing to be afraid of. Yeah, bad things happen. Bad things happen regardless of what you do. It's so important to not be silent, not to be cowed into submission. And that is what they are counting on. We've seen through Minnesota what people can do when they unite together and raise their voices. And we've seen the despicable manner that the people doing this behave in, because they have nothing else except force, except bullying. And we're here to stop that. So, yeah, this is I can't say I'm surprised, Kyle. I can't say I'm surprised. We knew something like this was coming.
Well, it's good that there's proactive stuff going on. At the local level, it seems every day like state and local and regional commitments to doing right by people are filling in where the federal government is reforming, in their words, or falling short. And yeah, being active, being out there, doing anything, really. And as you said, yeah, things will occur whether you do whether you say something or not, but don't be defeated by that feeling. In fact, what you have to say matters, and people could get inspired by your words. They could get motivated to really register, and we are like so encouraged, and it changes the cultural consciousness, the sort of accepted norms can change through that, but it has to be through communication, has to be through sharing and consideration, and staying committed to all of that. And it takes people really fighting apathy and getting coordinated, getting organized.
When lying is one of your main defenses, you're almost always on the wrong side. I mean, I can't think of a situation where you wouldn't be on the wrong side, because the facts aren't with you. And the falsehoods that are spread about undocumented immigrants, about how they're all criminals and they're basically destroying our way of life. This country would be nothing without immigrants. And you're more likely to be a victim of a crime from somebody who was born here than somebody who was not. Much more likely. This whole nonsense about undocumented immigrants voting in national elections is also nonsense. I think they just did a study in Georgia, because the FBI now, at the behest of Trump, is raiding polling places and trying to back up whatever nonsense Trump is spewing about the election being stolen in 2000. Yeah, that's not going away. But they did a study that found that out of several million people, a total of eight people who were not citizens somehow managed to vote. So, okay, you know, admittedly, that's more than I thought, but it's not a lot at all. Certainly not a lot to even change a school board election. I'd like to know how it happened, and I'm sure that there's an easy way it can be fixed, or if it was just an oversight of one sort or another. I don't know. Somebody thought they were a citizen and they weren't. I don't know. But eight out of millions? Yeah, okay, this is not headline news here. And yet, the way we talk about it, it's a major crisis. Really, a major crisis. You know, there are so many crimes out there that go unpunished. The Jeffrey Epstein thing alone, just look at that. Look at all the people who are not getting prosecuted for the horrible things they did. All of that is just happening right in front of us. And there's no penalty. Don't you think that's a lot worse than somebody who has not filled out the right papers, who wants to be a productive citizen here? You know, is that really the worst possible crime there is? Is that worse than, say, drunken driving or armed robbery? You know, all the things that, you know, a lot of people do around here. All right. Speaking of ICE, they were, and this is important because, you know, when they're active one day, they're usually active for the week in the same area. And they were active today in Medford on Main Avenue, in Brentwood on Grove Street and Wicks Road, and Suffolk Avenue as well, Fifth Avenue, in Central Islip, Ralph Avenue, and in Bayshore, Lombardi Boulevard, Hempstead, Fulton Avenue, Uniondale on Uniondale Avenue, again in Hempstead, Washington Street, Roosevelt on Nassau Road, Westbury on Pearl Street, Westbury on Park Avenue, Hempstead on Jerusalem Avenue, Roosevelt on Nassau Road, Freeport on North Main Street, and Hempstead on Main Street. You know, it seems like that's a lot more than we've read in the past, and it is. There's a lot more activity going on. And we need to keep our eyes open. We need to be taking pictures. We need to be recording. We need to be reporting. And I recommend the Ice Tracker app. That's what I'm using here. It's from islipforward.org. You can find the app at that website, islipforward.org. And if you have other apps in different parts of the country, please let us know what they are. We can spread the word about that. Citizen action. It's super important. It's very, very powerful.
We really do have a lot of like good tools. There's so much you can do now with media and writing and documenting things, investigating or observing even. And as well as organizing and talking about things, even the humor side of it, creating media, creating funny anecdotes and ridicule itself.
Well, the guy's slipping on the ice. Yeah, that's
absolutely. Those are all things going on social media. And I think levity's very good mentally for people that are resisting and putting forth greater ideals than the sorts of ones that this kind of enforcement action is trying to get people to be on board with.
Our side is so much funnier than their side.
We have a lot better humor.
I challenge anybody to find something funnier. We were at Steve Colbert last night. We managed to get tickets.
Yes, the late show.
You know this. You were sitting next to me. They pulled me up on stage.
Yeah, they did.
Because I was wearing one of those Russian hats. It's actually a Chinese hat, but it's made out of rabbit fur. I've had it for over 30 years. It keeps me so warm, but I was wearing it inside because I didn't want to put it on the floor. And the warm-up act guy said, "Hey, you with the hat, come up on stage." I was on stage at the Stephen Colbert show. It wasn't Stephen Colbert there at the time. He was about to come out, but this was the warm-up act. And he was
Paul Mercury.
Asking all kinds of questions. He asked, "Where are you from?" I said, "Stony Brook, New York." That got a big cheer. Big cheer from the entire audience. I don't know why, but great. It's weird. It's weird. You know, you realize how small things are. You're standing on that stage, and it's like, you know, Louis Cato's instruments are just right over there, and Steve Colbert's desk is just, you know, a few feet away from that. You look out at the audience, even though there's two levels, it's not that big. It's not that big.
Yeah, you really appreciate that when you're around all the different theaters in that area in New York. And even if you don't frequent all of them, getting to see something at any one of them from time to time is a real treat, and you do appreciate it. And even in the interview that was being done, they were talking about the different configurations, especially since the show is itself ending, and they're talking about how it was configured when other hosts were there, like
Letterman.
I'm sorry, David Letterman. Yeah, and Ed Sullivan before that, and beyond. So it's just cool to see a place live on and take on new forms.
But you know, Steve, John Oliver was the guest, which was a great guest to have for the entire hour. But both Steve Colbert and John Oliver have you know, basically spoken out so many times against this injustice. That matters. And they are hilarious at the same time that they're conscious of what they're talking about and calling out bullies and just, you know, saying the right thing and paying attention to what's going on. That really matters. And you realize when you see people like that we're on the right side and there's strength in numbers and we can laugh and still be serious.
Yeah, that's like so impressive to be in on the same sorts of jokes, or you're thinking the same thing as people, but also seeing what could easily be something they don't take note of or notice and share in understanding or describing to other people, but it is sort of hard to not notice it in this day and age, I'm just always impressed that they take it on in the way they do without being just like so frivolous, like just being, they could easily just be frivolous talking about other superfluous things. Right. But, and there is a degree of that, right. With show business and celebrity and stuff like that. But at the same time, they're not ignoring it and they are speaking to it because they know that that's what people are actually thinking about day to day.
Even when it affects them directly, the mega corporations that own their respective networks, and then one mega corporation is looking to buy the other network as well. Just to see the two of them going back and forth, John Oliver saying, oh, Stephen, yes, you do have to break for commercials because he's on HBO. He doesn't have to break for commercials. And, you know, giving him a hard time based on that. And then Stephen saying, yeah, well, when our corporation buys your company, you're going to have commercials too. And it's just, you know, yeah, it's horrible, but it's also hilarious.
Yes.
And it's absurdity. And I don't know how they'll be defeated, but they will be defeated at some point. They will be. I'm certain of that. The corporations, not these guys.
And it must be scary. I mean, they're looking at a tidal wave of consequences.
Yeah,
but not necessarily any one thing. It's just the general mood. And taking that and just taking, like, political economy of the media and just turning it upside down and shaking it out for laughs is hilarious. I mean, that's a great thing to do.
It's got to change at some point. These mega corporations have to lose control. Something else has to come up from the ground. You know, they don't control late night TV. They might control the current crop of late night TV, but hey, somebody else can just do something differently. Find a different network or start a different network or start a different platform or who knows what. But creativity always wins in the end, and rebelliousness always wins in the end. So I don't know what it is, though, about late night TV. It's gotten so, individualistic, people speaking their minds, mocking the regime. Yeah, Johnny Carson didn't do that. it's a very different time.
Yeah, it's punchy. It's punchy. There's a vigor to it, but it's vital. And media ownership turns out matters.
Mm-hmm. I'd like it maybe buying everything actually makes you weaker. You know, if we can just establish that as a rule, then we wouldn't see all these mega corporations trying to take over everything. Because when you take over everything, you know. Yeah, you might feel powerful, but the quality is going to suffer. There's no question about that. People aren't going to be very thrilled with what you do. And in the end, you just wind up looking evil and bad.
Yeah, I actually think embracing fragmentation is a way. Because, you know, they like buying up things, right? Well, mm-hmm. if it all breaks to a million pieces...
Right.
In the ways that the audience is available, it's not in these neat packages that they can just buy in like $30 million globs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe it's already occurring in that, many communication theories about, you know, Marsh, McLuhan and stuff about fragmentation and other things have occurred. And we're experiencing that. And I think maybe... the resurgence of like independent newsletters and neighborhood publications or broadcasts or streams, of course, and chats, group chats, I guess, are a thing. All of that, smaller worlds that are distributed, like in federated social media, which has been something that's been talked about a lot. All of those things are, I think, examples of a sort of fragmentation, and maybe we need more or less of that, or in different arenas to make it harder to buy large swaths of the greater audience. I don't know. I mean, there's things like that. I think maybe they could be things that didn't look so good in other atmospheres, but actually really work right now. In environments when big players are trying to come in and do that, if there's too many things to actually buy up, then maybe it's harder to wield that through big purchases. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud, but yeah, I think stuff like that is, and that sort of rebirth of old stuff, like smaller papers coming back, even when we've been writing about their demise for 20 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, fragmentation is definitely something to be wary of, because, you know, what a lot of people do is they use one social media platform and they ignore all the others. And, you know, that's not a good thing, because you're cut off from so many. I do it myself, but that's because I don't want to be involved in all these different social media platforms that are trying to grab my info. There needs to be all kinds of ways for us all to stay in touch.
Well, and that's an interoperability thing. I think that's right. been talked about. We've talked about that. Other writers and knowledgeable people have been very much.
You should never have to use a particular company to communicate. It should be completely neutral.
Yeah, I think I'm maybe leaning or trying to articulate like a good sort of fragmentation or the ways in which it is good.
Well, it's like,
but I don't know,
healthy competition where sure. You're aware of what's out there and you can easily go from one to the other. It's like going from channel 2 to channel 4. Accept a lot more options, a lot more possibilities, a lot more access. If you have that, then that's healthy competition. But if Channel 2 buys Channel 4 and then all the other channels, that's not competition. That's just one voice. Even if you split it into different supposedly competing companies, it's still the same thing. You need a variety of opinions. And that's a problem that I have with American TV, is that everything starts off as something different and then turns into the same thing. Remember when IFC was Independent Film Channel? Well, they're not anymore. They have crap on. Science Fiction Channel, more crap. Bravo, used to be Fine Arts. There's no Fine Arts there. Arts and Entertainment used to be Arts and Entertainment. There's no arts. Every single network just turns into the same, repeat of reality shows and old sitcoms and things like that, and you wonder why they're even called what they're called. MTV, music television? No, there's no music.
I think they stopped.
Why?
But they're still around.
Why can't you just keep the theme that you started with? Why does it all have to turn into the same thing? It's almost literally a melting pot. And melting pots, I know we say that this country is a melting pot. That's not very healthy, because you just wind up with the same basic flavor everywhere. A patchwork is what you want, where you have diversity and differences spread throughout. And I think that's what we should be focusing on. I don't know how I got into this.
I think maybe it's a distillation column. I don't know if it's melting anything.
I wanted to say that there's another development upstate, an upstate Republican state senator. Let me repeat that. An upstate Republican state senator is introducing a bill that would limit coordination between local law enforcement and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in New York State. Yeah, well, didn't Kathy Hochul already say she wanted to do that? But okay, fine. You know what? Have a Republican introduce it. The bill is a sign of growing unease among Republicans about the federal crackdown on immigration enforcement efforts after the recent fatal shootings in Minnesota. And it comes after Governor Hochul on Friday proposed to ban local police departments from signing cooperation agreements to assist ICE with immigration enforcement efforts. Senator Jake Ashby, who represents all of Rensselaer County and parts of Washington and Albany counties, and is there a single state that doesn't have a Washington county? I'd like to know. He introduced legislation that would ban coordination between local law enforcement and ICE agents on warrantless immigration enforcement raids. I think everybody can agree that what we're witnessing throughout the country, especially Minneapolis, is horrible, and it indicates a need for leadership, and we wanted to take that opportunity. I don't know anything about this guy, but I applaud this, and this is what we need to see more of. It came from a Republican. Think about that. His bill would also ban county jails from being used as mass housing for people waiting to be deported, and it would empower district attorneys to pursue criminal cases against undocumented defendants instead of coordinating with ICE on deportation proceedings. Ashby said his office was already drafting legislation when Hochul made her announcement Friday that she would seek to prevent local law enforcement agencies from signing 287-G agreements in which local departments partner with ICE to use local officers, jails, and other resources as part of federal enforcement efforts. So, yeah, that's something. That's what we're talking about. Republicans waking up and seeing the light and doing the right thing.
Yep. I would like to see that. Yeah, they've something to say. And I think if you have a line that you feel like is being crossed, you should definitely point that out to your colleagues, because mm-hmm. they may have the same one, but maybe too afraid to bring it up, to share and be honest with themselves. So let's encourage that and maybe see more of it, or at least keep listening for it.
We only have about 3 minutes left, but maybe we should spend a little bit of time with final thoughts about our travels. This is the first live show we've done in over 2 months, if you can believe that. The last live show we did was December 2nd, and it's now February 3rd. So, wow, that was one hell of a trip and also one hell of a break, which I think everybody needed. We needed it. The listeners needed it. it was something that I think we benefited from. We definitely had an interesting time, an educational time. Nobody treated us badly for being Americans. I mean, I didn't go around saying I was American all the time. When people asked where I was from, I would say New York, and that always got a good reaction. But those people who did know that we were American didn't lecture us, didn't shame us. I think most people know that this is not who we are. And that's good to know.
Sure. I think the overall reaction when you're speaking English or maybe undeniably not from around there was, as you said, really good. And I like seeing the people out there being in public spaces, in transit, and in far flung parts of that area. We really got to explore, got to do different things for ourselves, and really I'm glad we did it just to get back to moving around a little bit. And I think that was sort of something that had been escaping us for a little while, and it was just good to go to familiar places, explore a little bit of new stuff, mix it up, see the fashion, see the demeanor, hear the kinds of action and commotion from other parts of the world, because we'd been hearing a lot of the commotion from around here and we didn't disconnect from it. We were definitely paying attention all along, but it's good to keep moving, I think.
And we did that.
Exercise.
Sure.
Yeah. Exercise our skills.
Every day, get out there on the metro or subway or whatever it was and just explore and walk around. It was amazing.
Yeah, we're just always working on our travel skills, always working on our technology, doing more with less stuff, being nimble, and just making our adventure as we go.
Travel's so light, and that really frees you up to just be able to, get on the next train and just check out the next place. Oh, and by the way, this is important. The mystery that we alluded to in Poland, where we lost a charger and we couldn't figure out where that charger went because we had just moved from one room to the other and somehow it disappeared in that move. We searched both rooms. Turns out that charger was in my bag the whole time, and there's a special compartment in my knapsack that when you're filled with clothes, it kind of closes up so you're not aware it's there. So it was there the whole time while we were searching the rooms, and I discovered it as soon as we got back. So yeah, there's no mystery anymore. Everything worked out. We didn't lose anything.
Always bring at least like two chargers for that stuff.
I lost a tooth, so
you
lose one.
No, but you hung on to.
Well, it hung on to me. Actually, it was a crown, wasn't a tooth. And yeah, I have to get an implant now. But okay, fine, whatever.
There's always calamity. There's always pack lights so you can bring souvenirs back. And yeah, we deal with what we have to deal with and learn from it and come back for more.
We have to go. So good night, everybody. OTW@2600.com. See you next week.
The ghost of Martin Niemöller haunts the halls of history. When they came for the communists, he said, "It's nothing to do with me." When they came for the Democrats, he had nothing to say. And when they came for Jews, he just looked the other way. His silence didn't save him. When they came for him as well, there was no one to speak out for him. Resistance had been quelled. What excuses would you tell yourself if this ever happened to you? Well, I live in a city of heroes. I know what I would do. When they came for the immigrants, I got in their face. When they came for the refugees, I got in their
advice. When they came for the 5-year-olds, I got in their face. When they came to my neighbourhood, I just got in their face. They used tear gas and pepper spray against our whistles and our phones. But in this city of heroes, we will protect our home. When they dragged people from their cars, I got in their face. When they took families from their homes, I got in their face. When they murdered our sister, I got in their face. And when they murdered our brother, I still got in their face. In Dachau, Martin Niemöller suffered for his complicity. But in this city of heroes, we learn the lessons of history. I will bear witness to terror. I will bear witness to tyranny. I will bear witness to murder. I will bear witness to fascism.